Today in our hot seat, we have Antonio Tejada, Managing Director of Capita Translation and Interpreting. Hi, Antonio.
Good morning, Sarah. Good morning, Marek.
Hello, Antonio. Good morning. So, Antonio, are you ready?
Yeah, all ready. Go for it.
Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers. Our hosts today are Sarah Hickey, VP of Research, and Marek Jakubek, Localization Advisor at NIMSY Insights.
Antonio, in one sentence, tell us, please, what does your company do?
We're a specialized languages company dedicated to both the interpreting in the public sector and translation business with a heavy, heavy emphasis on technology.
What's the first career you dreamed of having as a kid?
I wanted to be a writer and publisher. So I used to do my own little books and just write my own little books. I think a lot of us who were translators tend to be frustrated writers. And I guess I'm definitely one of those. So,
when you're not working, how do you like to spend your time? Do you write?
I do write a little bit, but not as much as I would like. But I do a lot of walking. I have two sons who play basketball at sort of high level. So I've been on the sidelines for many years watching them playing. And then I do a lot of cooking. I like cooking. So just one of my passions. I come from a hostelier family. So we were all in the restaurant business. So cooking
was always there.
And when I got time, I do sailing. But that's probably not as much as I would like to do. But yeah. Mm.
Just out of curiosity, what's your favorite food that you like to cook for the family, or what's your family most favorite food?
Being Spanish as we are, sometimes they're very traditional. So like a good Spanish omelette, like a tortilla de patatas, is always on the table. But I do everything from fish. Fish is normally my preferred dish. So I do a lot of fish cooking.
So if you were given a chance to visit three different countries, which ones would you choose and why?
Traveling is my passion. I guess it's similar to everybody who's on the language industry, isn't it? We all tend to love to travel. I left home when I was 17 to go to the United States. So I've been very lucky to be in many, many countries thanks to my work and my passion for travel. But there are three, probably, if you have to say three, I would say China for sure. I would love to know better China. I don't think I've been exposed enough to the beautiful country. Mm-hmm. I think Australia, because I've never been there. Mm-hmm. It's one country I've never been. And South Africa, for sure, is a place I would love to go back again. So,
okay, so two countries where you would like to get back again, and one new Australia.
Yeah, definitely would love to discover, yeah.
Perfect. I hope that you'll make it there soon.
Hopefully, yes. Hopefully we can all get back to our good old travel plans.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
I've been very lucky to be raised in a very supportive family. And I say lucky because unfortunately not everybody has that luck in life. And, you know, my dad always being someone who's been, you know, not very highly educated, but always said, look, you know, stay honest. And I've always kept that, you know, just be honest, and that always will help your life. So that would be one. But I think more in a business level, I had a really good managing director back in the 90s when I started actually in localization, who used to say, like, look, stay true to your vision. So, you know, you have to have a vision and stay really true to it, but be prepared to change your objectives. Because a lot of times you try to just keep your vision and your objectives too strict, and then you can't change enough. So vision, stay true to it, but objectives, they have to change all the time.
Antonio, I feel like we know you a lot better now already. We know a bit more who you are and what you like to do. Can you tell me, what was your first breakthrough in your career? Do you remember? Was there a moment for you?
I think it was... It was surely, you know, I started translating very young. I was still at uni, and I went to work in Dublin in 92 for a company that was at the time, it doesn't exist anymore, it was called ITP, that then was acquired by SDL. Mm-hmm. So when I started working for ITP, I realized I really wanted to be in the corporate world rather than being, you know, in the freelance, more of sort of like backseat. But what it really was my breakthrough is when, at the time, we used to bring translators from all over the world to Dublin to work. There was no connectivity. There was no such a thing as people working from their own countries. It was all flying people in and hosting them. We were almost an Airbnb more than a localization company, because we had so many houses around Dublin. And I decided at the time to talk to my MD, who was the one that gave me that advice that I was telling you about, and tell him, look, I think we need to work from the countries. And I'm ready to bet for that. So I'm ready to go to Spain, set up ITP Spain, and take a risk if you help me on it. So that was the time, I think, my breakthrough, when I realized I liked the corporate world, but I had an entrepreneur on me that wanted to do new things. So we went and did it. And well, nowadays, everybody works on country, and you know, that's common. But that, I think for me, that was a great time in my career, for sure.
That sounds like you've always had like a really hands-on and kind of just going and doing it kind of approach. Can you tell me, was there like something where you'd say that was the most innovative thing you've ever done, or like your biggest success or something in your career that you can recall?
I guess a sign of getting old is you start feeling your career is just like your life. You know, it becomes a bit of a wider space. But so success, to me, in business, it comes with reliance, with continuity. I don't believe in one-off successes as much as I believe in providing continuity to business, in making sure businesses are resilient and adapting with time. So I think for me, probably, if I have to say something that was a great moment, and that is when we adopted machine translation as a technology. I'm not talking about the new era of machine translation, I'm talking about the old era of machine translation. And I think that was at the time a very strong leap of faith, because now it's an easy thing to do. You know, adopting machine translation today is like if you don't want to adopt smartphones, you know, you'll be going against everybody in the world. But in 2000, I can guarantee you, that was definitely not the case. So I think that probably was an important moment for me.
So that sounds all fantastic. I'm sure though you had some stumbles along the way as well in your career. Is there something where you could say, like, what was your biggest, I would say, failure in your career, and what did you learn from it?
Again, almost in the same line, isn't it? Failure and success is all relative to time. You know, with time and with hindsight, sometimes those successes become failures, really, and the opposite. But I think for me, probably one of the things that made me have a really tough learning process was actually the second acquisition I was involved in, and because it was a failed acquisition. And it was a failed acquisition because I was probably too naive still in my career, and maybe a little bit too cocky in thinking that you know what's on the other side of the wall. And in acquisitions, that's a real big mistake. So we went through a very bad acquisition. You know, patients were not the buyer and the seller. You know, we didn't do the due diligence that we should have done. Probably we didn't understand how to integrate the two businesses. And that cost us probably 2 years of a setback. You know, we went backwards rather than forwards. So I thought that I learned a lot from that on being patient and being humble and probably being more attention to detail on big deals becoming a much more important thing. So.
Mm-hmm. It's somewhat in a similar direction, and you already said, you know, you lost like 2 years there. Was there anything else where you felt like in hindsight you would say there was something where you wasted a lot of time in your organization, something that you spent a lot of time on, and you were saying that was a waste of time in hindsight?
Of course. I mean, those 2 years was, you know, probably they weren't a waste of time, because, you know, it was a mistake made, you need to fix it, so you're not wasting your time, you're actually fixing the mistake. But I think in general, where I do feel that we businesses tend to, and this is in general, but you know, and I have experienced that in the past, is on trailing. And when I say trailing, and I use this a lot in my business, is I'm very adamant not to be trailing either other businesses or the market without knowing why you're doing that. So like I don't want to say copying because it's not copying, but trailing in the sense of, you know, trailing trends, trying to follow what other people are doing without knowing that that is what applies to you. I think a lot of people waste a lot of time on that, and including myself. I've done that in the past where, you know, you think if everybody's doing something, that's what you need to do. And in reality, you have to go back to your vision. You have to understand why you want to do things rather than what other people are doing, particularly in these places where you've got 18,000 companies, everybody's doing something different. You
know? Yeah. So staying true to yourself, really.
Yeah.
So on the more positive side again, what do you think in your own view makes you a great leader?
Probably for other people to judge whether I am a great leader. But I think, you know, leadership is it's a very used word these days, but it's a very complex composition of elements, isn't it? I think if you want to be a leader, you have to like people and you have to believe in people because it's leading at the end of the day is nothing but trying to support people in a shared vision, in a shared project. So if you don't believe in people, you've got a problem, because you literally won't be able to trust, you won't be able to engage with people. So I think that definitely for me is an element that it's very important. And I think, if you want to be a leader, you definitely need to be honest to your people, to your stakeholders, to your customers. Otherwise, it's pretty difficult.
It's like, you know, it's not about who starts a movement, but it's about the first follower, you know. What is your biggest pet peeve when it comes to clients?
So I've got, and people who work with me would know this, but unfortunately, I'm of the opinion that the reactions of clients that we don't like, a lot of times are coming from actions that we do. So to begin with, I think a lot of the times it's us who cause whatever we don't like of a customer. Mm-hmm. So if we're not presenting a good message, that's why they don't want to talk to you. If if they're upset, it's because you're not understanding their expectations. There's always something. But I think if one thing I would say, it's I don't work well with customers who don't believe when we say we want a true partnership with them. So customers mm-hmm. who might feel that's not a true message, I just have difficulties working with them because we're starting from a wrong place, because we're starting from a place of mistrust. But that's not the customer's fault. Again, it's because I probably haven't communicated well how that partnership will work. But I think that's probably the only one that really mm-hmm. sometimes gets to me.
Okay, that makes sense. What advice would you give to young entrepreneurs starting their own business in the language industry today?
Good luck. starting your own business is difficult, and you have to know what you're getting into. I compare it to being father for the first time or mother for the first time. You know, becoming a businessman or an entrepreneur, again, everybody will tell you the good things and some of the bad things, but resilience and a lot of loneliness is needed when you're an entrepreneur, and people might not realize that. So I think it's, first of all, good luck, and yes, do it, but be mindful of what you're getting into so that you can be successful in it. In the language industry, one of the things I'll add to that is you need to find your unique identity. This is a very crowded market. It's a lot of people on it. It's a very easy entry market, which makes it simple to set up a small company. But you have to find a unique identity. Otherwise, you have to set up a company to drive change, to be disruptive, to do something big. Don't set up a company because you're just upset with the place where you're working and you think you can do better on your own and that's all you want to do. That's not a company. That's working for yourself. That's being on your own, but that's different. So find a unique identity, work on your value proposition before you start. Don't just jump into it and think, I'm just going to be another one here.
Mm-hmm. And I would just add to that it goes in line with what you just said at the beginning. The piece of wisdom that have a vision, but be ready to change your objectives.
Yeah, for sure.
Along the way, right?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
I became a mother now for the first time as well, so I could relate.
Oh, did
to that.
You? Oh, well, I tell you what, it is different to what your friends will tell you, isn't it?
Definitely, definitely. But it's also amazing. Yeah. But I think that the biggest thing I didn't expect is just how much you worry about them all the time, and even if it's rationally not needed, but it's just always there.
Thank you so much, Antonio, for joining us today in the hot seat. I hope you didn't sweat too much. And
it was a pleasure, guys. Absolute pleasure.
If anyone else feels like letting off some steam and you are part of the C-suite at a company in the language services industry, sign up with us if you dare to sit in our hot seat.
This was all for today, folks. Thank you so much for watching, and look out for our next episode, which will be published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the NIMSY website. Thanks so much again, Antonio. It was great to have you.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Antonio.